Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here in the house of the Lord with you. And if you've been here for a long time, praise be to God. Thank you for your faithfulness. If you're a visitor here for the first time, welcome. But if you've come a time or two, then you're family, so you don't have to worry about it. We are here today to celebrate that which is greater than anyone, that any person that we could look at today. I know there's a lot of people that look at celebrities and people, athletics and stuff like that. There is nothing that can touch Jesus Christ. Amen. He is, as we sang earlier, he is the solid rock. There is no other. He is it. And I am so glad that you know him. I'm so glad that this church is not afraid to tell people about Jesus, because that's exactly what they need. We all need it. Our families need it. And we most certainly need it personally. I am troubled by what's going on in the world today. I'm troubled by what's happening to our youth today. I'm troubled by what's happening to people my age today. But it's not as serious to me as it is those who have to traffic in this world today, time in and time out, with no hope whatsoever of getting out of the misery they find themselves in. The only hope that this world has, or anybody has, is Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. And as I was thinking about that and praying about that, he led me to 1 Peter. That's where we'll be going, the first chapter. Just want you to know a little bit that Peter, when you hear these words, remember who Peter was when he was walking around with Jesus. He wasn't exactly the kind of person you see kind of expressed in these pages. Peter was a little bit presumptuous. He felt that there was a better way of doing things, and he was kind of innovative. I mean, he was a man that done things. He was a fisherman. He knew how to survive. But oftentimes he was kind of a thorn in Christ's side. There was even one time when he told him, they called him Satan, said, "Satan, gets behind me." Yeah, now that's not a good call. I wouldn't want Jesus to tell me that in no circumstance whatsoever. So as we look at these words, think about the person of Peter as you think about what Christ is doing through him to reach us, because that's exactly how it works. Your blessing from God is not yours. It's to be given away. Jesus Christ, the best way to honor Jesus Christ is to give him away. Give him away. Give him to somebody that doesn't know him. Give him to somebody that maybe is struggling somewhere in their lives. Just give him away. Give him away. He loves it when we do that. And we're going to begin in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it begins by talking about the Father himself, the Creator, the one that created you and me and created this world. He is the Father of Jesus Christ, but he's also our Heavenly Father, as we know, who, according to his great mercy. Now, I picked this particular passage because of that word mercy. We do not live in a merciful world today. I was watching something the other day, and these people were fighting over a parking space. They were ready to get out and shoot each other and kill each other over a parking space. Now, there's something wrong when that's going on in your mind. Your mind should be telling you, that's not right. That's not right. We have no right to nothing. We own nothing. We think we own everything. You may say, "Oh, I own my car." I've heard people say that before and seen their car disappear. I've heard people say, "I own my house." And guess what? I've seen those disappear too. "I have a job and it's my job." Well, guess what? Sometimes it just doesn't work out, does it? Doesn't work out to the principles of man, because man's way of doing things is different than the way God does things, different than the way Jesus does things. As you look at this, as we continue, "In his great mercy has caused us." Now, this is a cause. has caused us to be born again. Oh my gosh. Guess what? You have really never been born until you're born in Christ. You was born physically, there's no doubt. You can't say, well, Pastor, I was born by, you know, my mother had me, she bore me, and that's correct. But you have never been born until you're born into Jesus Christ. He said, you must be born again. In other words, you're not getting to God, you're not getting to heaven, unless you're born again. And he tells us here, and Peter tells us here, because see, Peter was not somebody on the kind of the branches of things, just kind of listening. He was right in the middle of it. He was right in the mix of it when Jesus was here. As a matter of fact, he was one of the three that he talked about and used the most. Peter, James, and John. The inner circle, if you might call it that. He goes, has caused us to be born again, now listen, to a living hope. What kind of hope does the world have? Dead hope. That's what it is. If you put your hope in your 401k, you have put your hope in a dead hope. It has no life. If you put your hope in your spouse or your children or anything else in the past or in the church, you have a dead hope. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ and being born again into Him. That's it. That's it. And He doesn't give us a dead hope. He gives us a living hope. That means it's eternal. His hope, His life, when He talks about life, He's not talking about temporary life like we're accustomed to. He's talking about a holy hope that is eternal. It never goes away. It's always there. It's here with us today. Jesus Christ is here with us today. And He wants you to hear that even if you're going through some kind of miserable thing right now, He wants to give you, if you don't have hope, you've got some dead hope you're holding on to, thinking maybe your doctor can help you or something, you can forget that. If you think maybe the government can help you or something, you can forget that. That's a dead hope. But He gives us living hope, eternal hope. He caused us to be born again to a living hope through what? The resurrection. He took death at the cross for you and for me. Because see, death is what sin ushered in. When we sinned, death ushered in. That's what it was. That's what happened. So anything that you have that you put your belief in or your trust in outside of God is an empty hope. It has to come through what He says here, a living hope through the resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, a living hope from the dead. In other words, He was dead. His physical body was dead. He wasn't in some kind of sleep or some kind of trance like some people try to argue. He was dead until the Father said, He's alive. How powerful is a God that can speak life like that into anything? Can you imagine something like that? I doubt many of us could. It's an awesome thought to think about a God that's able to do that. I was reading an article the other day, and it was talking about, You know, with Easter coming up, it was talking about the crucifixion and some of the ways that it's defined. We read past it. We read past it in, the gospel account of his crucifixion. We read past that as if it's just a story. But when we take time to consider what he actually did, it's far beyond our comprehension. So we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with a Jesus that's broken. We want a Jesus that's fixed. We don't want a Jesus that brings us hope when we're dying. We want a Jesus that gives us life always. That's what we want. See, we're always wanting something. It's us who ruins the relationship with Jesus. But listen, and you listen carefully, there is no suffering that you could ever do that could match the suffering of our Jesus Christ that went to the cross. You can't imagine that. Now, a few years ago, there was a movie made called The Passion of Christ, and I watched it one time. That's all I needed to do. But that was not even a depiction of what they did to our Lord. Even in that. So he goes and he dies. He's buried in a tomb. And through the resurrection, he gives you, he gives me, and anybody that would want to come, living hope, salvation, eternal life. And you think the question becomes, do you want to live? Most people, I'm living. I know Jesus, I know. I hope you do. He goes on, he says, it said, from the dead to obtain an inheritance. Why did through his resurrection he give us a hope that we would what? Inherit something. We would inherit eternal life. He would present that to us. He gives that to us as we've surrendered our lives to him. But there's going to be one day we're going to inherit the kingdom. The kingdom of God is coming. It's not going away. It's not getting further from us. That's why things are so different now between what's going on in the church and what's going on in the world. Because the church has the hope of the kingdom, which is nothing like the kingdom of the world. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like our Lord. It's nothing like our world today. I was talking with the pastor Ed earlier, and we was talking about there used to be a time, and not too long ago, where the United States itself set as a beacon of hope to a world that was dying. Right now, because of the filth and the wickedness and the evil, it's just a little molehill. It shines nowhere. It's been, let me tell you, because the wrath of God is upon it. Jesus says that God said he'll make things low. He's bringing us low. We're going to be squeezed. Now, you don't want to say, oh, you know, I love Jesus. I know he loves me. Well, guess what? He does love you. But it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. You have nothing special. I have nothing special. He could take me like that. I'm nothing special. Who is man that God is mindful of him? I want you to think about that sometime when you're thinking about Jesus and you're praying to Jesus. Who is man that he is even mindful of us? We have no position in this kingdom unless he gives it to us through his resurrection, his death resurrection. Goes on to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. Imperishable. I don't know about you, but if you put some milk in the refrigerator and you leave it in there a month and you go in there and open it, it's not going to be imperishable. I can tell you that. It's going to be rotten and dead, and you're going to be throwing it out. And that's the way it is with this world, isn't it? It's rotting and it's dying. It is. It's rotting and it's dying. right before our eyes, and yet we do not see. You know why? Because we do not want to see. Pastor Ed made a comment this morning, and it was exactly right on. He said, it is about a choice. What will you choose? Now, you don't have a whole bunch to choose from like you think you do. People say, I'll choose this for a while. I'll choose this for a while. I'll choose this for a while. Oh, there's Jesus. I need him right now. I'll choose him today. You have to choose Jesus as the only person in your life. Your life is zero, nothing, worthless without Jesus Christ. In other words, it's perishable. It has no value. It's like waste or dung, sewage. That's what it's like. The word says, our righteousness is but filthy rags before the Lord. In other words, garbage. I would tell you what those rags are, but you probably wouldn't be too pleased with it. It's not just an ordinary rag. So you need to remember that we have no place in Christ till he makes a place for us. Until you choose him and he brings you into the kingdom, you have nothing to offer anybody. I don't care what you say, who you think you are, you do not have anything to give anybody but Jesus Christ. The only thing I want to give to you is Jesus. I don't want to change you. I don't want to make you look better. I don't want to make you younger. I don't want to make you healthier. All I want to do is give you Jesus. That's it. I want to give you Jesus. And if you come to me and I'm not giving you Jesus, you make sure you remind me of what I say. Because I love you. Not because it's convenient. It's because I love my Lord. And because he loves you, I follow him. I love you. The perishable and undefiled, hasn't been broken into. It's like virginity. Once it's broken, I'm getting that back. That's why it's called, talking about undefiled. It's pure in its holiness and its hopefulness. He says it's undefiled and will not fade away. In other words, it will not go away. It's not going to, most of the stuff in our life just doesn't go away. It fades away, doesn't it? Life, when you're living it, you get up to 50, 60, 70 years old, it's starting to fade away. Things, when you buy a car, you've got it a year, 2 years, 5 years, and the beauty just the operation of the car starts to fade. If you paint something outside, and many of you have done that, you paint something outside, you leave it out there a year, 2 years, 5 years, it fades, doesn't it? See, that's what we're doing. We're fading away. One day, we're going to leave this mortal coil and take up the righteousness of Christ in his fullness, in his glory. He said, undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for who? For you. Reserved in heaven for you. Now, when he says for you in this context, he's not just saying for you. He's saying for you. For you. He's being personal and intimate with you. Today when we come to the table, that's exactly what we'll be expressing. We'll be expressing the intimacy of God through what we do here. Important. Reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. In other words, nobody's going to take it away from you. If he gives it to you, it's protected for you.
You don't have to defend it either. See, that's an interesting thing. See, here we have to defend certain things. If you want to keep your house, you're probably going to have to defend it some way. Your car, you have to defend it. Or if somebody wanted to come in and rob you, you're going to have to defend somewhere. You're going to have to defend it. But when God's power is present, there's no more need for defensive measures. Well, isn't that going to be pretty cool? I think that's a cool thing. I'm ready for that. I'm ready to not think defensively about people no more. I'm at the point where I don't want to have to lock my doors every time I go in the house or lock my car every time I park in a parking lot. I don't want to do that. I don't want to lock it away. But God's power will protect us. We won't have to defend ourselves no more. He is our defender. He is the one. When we go to Him, He provides all things. He says, who are protected by the power of God through faith. Now you have to have some faith. Now faith, listen, for a salvation ready to be believed in the last time. So your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is being tested now. Your faith is being tested as you're sitting here listening to the words of God. What you do with that is between you and the Lord. That's what faith, that's how it's remedied. That's how it's worked out in your life. You read God's word or you hear God's word proclaimed and you react to that. If you go home and 2 hours later you can't even remember what book the preacher preached out of, you might want to collect your thoughts and start thinking about Jesus a little more. Excuse me. But he said, through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little time, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. He didn't say everybody was going to, praise be to God. You ever seen those people just seem like, you know, it's just everything happens to them. I have seen Christian soldiers, what I like to call them, that are so humble that you wouldn't even know they ever went through a trial. Never. That's what a person who trusts Jesus, that's what they look like. You look at them, you don't say, well, he must be fasting because he looks terrible. You never know. And you never know how Jesus is going to use you. You have to be ready. Maybe it's somebody you just bump into. Femi and I were meeting with a representative the other day for some un-Medicare and stuff like that, trying to get that balanced out. And there's a young girl there, I think she's probably in her 20s, maybe early 30s, had her son there. I imagine she's in her 30s because her son was 11. And they were both there. And we got to talking about Jesus after a while. Guess what? We should always be doing that, shouldn't we? We should say something about Jesus when we're sitting around with folks. So we start talking about Jesus and start talking about salvation, and she was a little bit confused about it. She was a little bit confused whether she was actually saved or not. So Femi walked her through the whole process. From the birth of Christ all the way to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the ascension. And you know what she did? She started crying. Her heart was touched. Her heart was pliable. See what happens to us? We get hardened by the world. And we don't want to let Jesus in. But her heart was at peace. And we had a prayer there. And not only her, but her son received Jesus Christ in a high hops. Yeah. Yeah, that's worth God's praise. So, if necessary, it might be necessary, if you're going through some trial, remember that. Maybe the trial is the option for you to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. See, that's what he does. We think everything has to be kind of easy and set up, get people ready. Get them in a big room like this and tell them, say, you need Jesus, and everybody comes to the altar and prays and receives Jesus. But it usually comes during our trials, when we're in the midst of maybe not liking somebody because they're not doing exactly what I'd like for them to do. So I'm not going to tell them about Jesus. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to tell them about Jesus. I'm trying to protect myself. I'm trying to take care of myself. I don't have time. If somebody's wanting to fight and they're getting ready to slug me, I don't want to think about Jesus. I want to say, hey, I'm going to protect myself. But you know what Jesus says? Tell them about me. And all you have to do is just mention his name. And it makes a difference in people's lives. I don't care who they are. There's something about that name. Something about the name of Jesus. Now, he's called you here today. You've heard the word being preached. We've sang the word. We've prayed the word. Now, it's time to choose what you're going to do with that word. Maybe nothing. Maybe it's just another Sunday. Maybe something miraculous. Like you run into somebody that doesn't know Jesus and you lead them to the Lord. Wow. There is not a greater concern that should be on the heart of God's people than that. On Sunday night, tonight, we'll come together from 5 to 6 to pray. My heart in all that was not just to come in and, you know, have a time really of just talking. I want to see people who has a heart to pray. I want to see people who are not afraid to weep for the lost. How many of them you seen lately? There's a lot of people lost, maybe right in your own family. Have you wept for them lately? Have you wept so much that Jesus hears your cry? That's where we need to be. We need to be in such a place that we're ready to tell Jesus and surrender everything to Jesus Christ. And through that humility and through that expression of love, he does the most miraculous things that could ever be done. He is our miracle God. He saves us. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves people. But it doesn't get us out of the responsibility of choosing him. Yes. You can say, I love Jesus, but that doesn't mean you've done anything. You have to choose him. So as we come to the table, there's a lot more on there. It talks about the proof of your faith, and there's a lot more going on there. You might want to read that when you get home. But as we come to this table of fellowship, think what it might have been back in that day. They're in probably this, they said it's an upper room, so it's probably on a second floor, third floor maybe. I've never been there, but people in Jerusalem said they've been there and they've been to the upper room. They've seen it and they know what it looks like, things like that. A lot of people say, well, I'd really go to Israel, you know. And I'm telling you, this is my perspective. Don't you be discouraged by this. But I don't need to see that. I want to see Jesus. I do. I don't want to see where he walked. I don't want to see where he died. I don't want to see where he came out of the grave. I want to see my Jesus. Period. That's it. Yeah, there's no more. What else is there? Let me tell you, don't be discouraged. If you've got tickets right now for Israel, don't turn them back in. You go. Because I hear the experience is really something special. But I just don't have a heart for that. That's not my call. I want to see those nail-scarred hands when he says, welcome to my kingdom, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to see. And guess what I'm wanting to see next? I want to see all of you. I want to see all of you, every single one of you, your families that's represented. Think of your families who are lost and dying, doing all kinds of things today that doesn't bring any glory to God whatsoever. Wouldn't it be great if you get to heaven and they're there?
Yes.
What else do you need or I need? What else do our kids need than Jesus? What do they need? Maybe they need a new car or a new boat or something. I don't know. Whatever it might be, it's going to be insufficient. Because Jesus is the sufficient one. So as we come to this table, that last time that he would sup with them, this side of heaven. Now he's preparing a table right now. It's been prepared for those who are coming. So we're going to meet at that table one day. But he was getting ready to take his last supper with them. And he told them how to remember him. You see that right there in the front? Says, this do in remembrance of me. Because we will forget him if we don't do something. He knew that too. So as we come to this table, just be reminded of the Lord that loves you. The Lord that never gives up. If you're not his, he's going to woo you and keep wooing you and keep wooing you till you come. You're not going to get up. It's like my mother used to do when I was young. I loved laying around in the bed with headphones on listening to music. And she'd come in there and get up. Oh, yeah, okay. She'd come in there and get up. And she just wooed me and wooed me and wooed me. That's what we called that. You're willing me to death. Guess what? Jesus is going to will you to death that he can give you life.
Hallelujah.
He will.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your almighty power which is present right here in this place. We do not have to defend ourselves. You are our strength. You are our refuge. You are our tower. And as the pastor prayed earlier, you are the one that protects us. You are the one that's here with us. And you never leave us nor forsake us. That is your promise to us. It's not just a saying that sounds good. It is your promise to us. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that is here. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us another Sunday that we could come in and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your name is Jesus, and you are on high, and we are your people. That's what the pastor said. We are your people, and you are our God. And we claim that right now in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. You can come forward, ushers. Thank you, Jesus. On the night our Lord was betrayed by one of his own, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. He broke it, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. A little stumbly here. Thank you, Wayne. Let's have Wayne.
Lord, thank you for the many blessings you've given us. Bless these cups now. Continue to bless each one of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
the body of Christ broken for you. Fashion, the Lord took the cup, he lifted it to heaven, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples.
For this day, we also thank you that we can stand in your presence and devour your blood which you have shed for us. Amen.
Of Christ, shed for many for the forgiveness of sin. The scripture teaches us that when you take this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the death of our Lord until he comes. So let's stand and recite the Lord's Prayer as our prayer to God.